You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, church. We are in our series called Renew. Basically, in this series, we have heard about how God cares for our business, for our issues and struggles in life. And in this series, we've also learned how Christ cares about our emotional wholeness and well-being. That Christ indeed cares for everything of who we are. In the first week, we've talked about the Samaritan woman. In the second week, we've talked about the demon-possessed man. And here, in the last installment of this series, we're going to talk about Peter. Who among you are familiar with Peter? Peter was one of Jesus Christ's disciples. And Peter's life as a disciple was so colorful. If you have read the New Testament in the four accounts of the Gospel, even in the accounts of Acts, you would see there how colorful Peter's life was. Now, Peter was the disciple who walked on the water and in a few moments had that audacious faith to walk on water with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in another few moments, his faith faltered and basically sunk on the water. Now, Peter's life was colorful because his character was also colorful. Peter was an outspoken man. He was frank. He speaks his mind. Peter was also passionate, very passionate. When he thinks of doing something, he does it, right? With all passion, with all heart. Peter was also one of Jesus Christ's closest friends. In fact, he was the apostle called a pillar of the church. One of the characters of Peter was that he was also enthusiastic in the things that he do. He was strong-willed. Now, the next character of Peter that brought him to a lot of trouble was that he was also a man of impulse. He was very impulsive. And if you're familiar with Peter, you would know that Peter was the most rebuked disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ because of his impulse. And at times, Peter could be rude, coarse, and arrogant. That is Peter. But with all Peter's strengths and failures, still, the Lord Jesus Christ had called him to fulfill a specific purpose. With all of Peter's failures, Jesus Christ didn't just left him, but instead, Jesus Christ continued to mold Peter into the man and the apostle or disciple that he had planned Peter to be. Now, we're going to talk about Peter in length in these verses in Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. Please read with me. In verse 54, it says here, "Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, 'This man also was with him.'" Now, this was the time when Peter was about to make his first denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Imagine, eyes to eyes with Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, today you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. While I was preparing for this message, I've looked into some of the statistics in the World Health Organization, and I found out that one of the leading deaths of human beings in this world every year is suicide. And according to the statistics, suicide is the leading cause of death among 15 to 29 year olds. And it also says there that close to 800,000 people die by suicide every year. And that is a staggering fact, not to mention a sad fact for us to know, because this statistics includes Christians as well, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you have heard that the author of Purpose Driven Life, his child also as well committed suicide. We are included in these statistics, that even Christian believers of the Lord Jesus Christ have that tendency to commit suicide, take away their life. And The statistics said that for every seaside that have been consumed, meaning to say, namatay gyud, there's a lot of people who have attempted to commit suicide. If they would include the statistics of those who attempted to commit suicide, this could reach to millions. Millions of people attempting to commit suicide every year. And many people thinking of taking their own life are not seeking help and not getting the help they need. Not because there's no help available. There is a help that is available. But the reason why this statistics is so high is because of the stigma and the taboo in the society. There's a social stigma, especially when it comes to mental illness, that people would not want to be found that they have this kind of symptoms because they don't want people to think of them differently. And there's also a cultural taboo, not just in our country, but in the whole world, that we don't want to talk about this kind of things. We don't want to talk about us having thoughts of suicide, of taking away our life, because it's a taboo in the society. It's not approved in the society. Now, when we think about stigma, it brings a lot of shame in a person. It brings a lot of shame in a person. And when we think about a taboo, when we do something that is a taboo in the society or in the culture, it brings about so much guilt when someone does something that is a taboo in a society. Guilt and shame. Most people don't openly say that they have guilty feelings and they have shameful feelings, but the reality is that it's happening. Even in our Christian circles, it's happening. There's so much guilt and so much shame that is basically injected in the lives and the hearts of people. Our world today is driven by guilt and shame, primarily through performance. When we are unable to perform, we feel like we don't amount to anything. When we are able to do something that is against the norms, when we feel like I don't belong. There's so much shame and guilt in our society. Before we do something, we would ask ourselves, is my behavior okay for the eyes of people? Will it cause me to have a negative image towards people, towards my peers? We also ask, how will people would look at me if I do this and do that? There's a lot of guilt and shame that is injected just by the culture that we are living in. The world is feeding on the shame and guilt of people. Naturally, the world will control us by injecting shame and guilt into our hearts. The world is slowly controlling us. And in the advent of social media, of internet, now we are building a life that is apart from the reality. In social media, we post things that are so good for us, for people to see us this way. We have built an image so detached from reality that we are living in that false world that we have created, in the world of social media. That we cannot think of the truth, the real truth, who we really are. And we have made a facade in the social world that when we look at a person, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we would think that we are so good. Just like this apple right here, I'm so precious. There's no flaws in me. I don't have pimples or wrinkles, things like that. But when you open up that person, you would see that that person is rotting inside. That person is actually rotting inside. Guilt and shame hinders us from growing and progressing in our relationship with the Lord. It hinders us primarily from growing and progressing in our relationship with the Lord. Now, Peter was in that same exact situation. Peter just denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And before that denial, Jesus Christ had already warned Peter that you will deny me. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and who among you have made promises? Promises that you were not able to keep. Don't raise your hand. A lot of times, we make promises that we cannot keep. And Peter just made earlier a promise to the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a promise. He said, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Such a strong declaration from Peter. But Jesus Christ said, well, are you sure? It says here in verse 61, Jesus Christ said, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. That is what happened to Peter. A lot of times we make promises that when we make those promises, it seems like we're gonna move heaven and earth just to fulfill that promise. But in the end, we are not able to keep it. And that's what happened to Peter. He says, Lord, I will never deny you. I will lay down my life for you, Lord Jesus Christ. And just because of that situation, that the Jews arrested the Lord Jesus Christ and was about to go to trial, and Peter felt afraid. He was just so afraid and terrified that he might have the same faith as to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was afraid to be crucified. He was afraid to be persecuted. So when people asked him that if he was with the Lord Jesus Christ, he denied. Peter denied. And a lot of times you are like that. A lot of times we are like that. We want to avoid persecution. So we want to avoid our friends calling us alive, alive. Do you have friends like that? Calls you alive, alive. I have just been called like that yesterday, but it's okay. So we have friends like that. The moment they learn that we are born again, birth again in the Spirit, they call us alive, alive. We avoid those kinds of persecution. It's the same with Peter. Peter was sitting there guilty of betrayal. He just denied Jesus Christ three times. And to think that Peter was one of Jesus Christ's disciples, one of Jesus Christ's closest friends. Peter have seen all of Jesus Christ's miracles. Peter heard almost all, siguro, of Jesus Christ's parables. He have seen the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet in the end, because he was afraid, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are afraid, the most natural thing that we do is to preserve ourselves, self-preservation. We try to protect ourselves so that we won't get hurt. We try to protect our identity so that we will not be put into a bad light. We try to preserve ourselves. And as Christians, whether we like it or not, we are also doing this one. When we are faced with a situation wherein we have to profess ourselves, we compromise. And I want to tell you, church, compromise is betrayal to Christ. Compromise is betrayal to Christ. The moment we compromise, it's the same thing as denying the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing with what Peter did. In John chapter 13, verse 37, Peter made a very bold declaration. He said, I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you, Jesus Christ, whatever it takes. Magkinaunsa man, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. But just because people want to associate Peter to Christ, he cowered. He was terrified. He was afraid. We naturally protect ourselves. And who among you could identify with Peter? Please don't raise your hand. I can identify with Peter. There are a lot of times when pressure comes in, I naturally would want to preserve myself. But the Bible is very clear, church, that God doesn't call us to self-preservation. In fact, the Bible calls us, or Jesus Christ calls us, to self-denial. To deny ourselves each and every day so that we will be able to accomplish and fulfill His purpose for us. God doesn't call us to preserve ourselves. God calls us to deny ourselves. It is so easy for us to say, Lord, I pledge my allegiance to you, when everything in life is doing well. When we are at the peak of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you, what happens when you go through a desert season in your life? When your prayers are not answered. 5 years, 10 years, you've been praying for the same sets of prayer points. It feels like the Lord is not hearing my prayers. There's no answer to my prayers. There's a lot of uncertainties in my life. What happens when we go through a desert season in our life? Would we still want to lay down our life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or we did just the same with what Peter just did, deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we still continue to profess our faith, or we would just stand back or sit back, relax, do nothing? Or will we begin to move our faith and begin to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Trust His finished work for us, that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He had died for me. There's no reason for me not to trust and believe in Him. What happens when we go through a desert season in our life? Will we want to preserve ourselves, or would we rather deny ourselves for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Peter was sitting there utterly devastated. He just realized that he had just denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just once, but three times. In Luke chapter 22, verse 62, it says there, he went out and wept bitterly. Peter, when he realized that what he had done, he just rushed outside of the courtyard and wept there bitterly. There's two common responses when we find ourselves in a guilty and shameful feeling. Two common responses. We either cower or we cower. And Peter chose to cower. Cower meaning to shrink back. And to cover meaning to do something else to cover up for our mistakes and failures. It says in John chapter 21 verse 3, it says there that Peter went back to fishing. Peter went back to fishing. And not just Peter, nang invite pa si Peter og other disciples. Come on, let's go back fishing na lang. It's better for us this way. It's better for us to go back to our old former way of life. Because anyways, our teacher is going to be crucified. Peter shrink back. Peter cowered. He went back to his former way of life. And when guilt is undealt, most of the time we cower, we shrink back. And I was talking to a friend one time when we were out in our morning routine. He was sharing to me that he used to be a Christian. He used to attend a Baptist church, and he said it was one of the most wonderful days of his life. And I asked him, what happened? He said he stopped attending church. And when I asked him the reason why he stopped attending church, he just said, you know, because of sins. He can't come to church because of the guilt and shame of the sins that he have committed in his life. And a lot of times, when we realize how shameful and guilty we are with our sins, we cower. We step back from our ministries. For those of you who are volunteers here, we step back in our volunteer assignments, volunteer duty. For some reason, you just disappeared, right? Your team leaders couldn't find you. We stop doing our one-to-one. Or for those of you who are leading victory groups, you just suddenly stop doing your victory groups because of the guilty feeling that I'm not worthy to share this word. I'm not worthy to be a leader. For those of you who are not leading yet, you disappear from your victory groups. Your victory group leaders couldn't find you. Just like what I did, right? My cousin Katrina texted me for straight 8 months. And no response from me. And a lot of times also, some of us, we just don't show up in our one-to-ones. We live our commit up in Egypt, all by themselves. Some of us stop attending church. Some of us would stop seeing people in church. Adi ko ganahan makita og mga taga victory, right? Some of us would wanna stop seeing people from church. Some of us would wanna just isolate ourselves. Diri lang ko sa balay. Okay lang kog podcast. We hide from people. We hide from the community just because of the guilt and shame that we are experiencing. And when we're hiding, I want to tell you this one. When we're hiding, that's the time that the devil will be attacking us. I've said last week that as believers, the worst thing that we could do when we are faced with an issue in life is to isolate ourselves. It's because it's the time when the enemy is most powerful in our life. When we isolate, And when we isolate, a lot of times our minds are idle. And an idle mind is the devil's playground. That's the time when all the more you will feel guilty. You will all the more feel shameful of what you did. That's the time you would come to think of negative thoughts. Like, there's no more hope. I just want to end my life. A lot of times when we're idle, we become a prey to the enemy. We are devoured by the enemy when we isolate ourselves. The second response is that when we are guilty and shameful of something, we cover up. We cover up. And a lot of times, most of us are artistahin. We are so good in covering up our mistakes. For those of you who are volunteers, normally you wouldn't show up in your assignments, or if you show up, you show up late. But for some reason, kalit kag tungha, even you're more than willing to volunteer 5 services. Sunday, okay lang. Whole day ko, okay lang. We tend to cover up our sin with good works. For those who are staying with your parents, you did something wrong and you know your parents would get mad at you. You would just naturally do something good. Manghugas og plato, manilihig, manlampaso, something that you don't normally do. Just to cover up for your mistake. Na nag-ngisi-ngisi, naka-remember sila sa ilang gihi mo. We cover up. We're good at faking. We cover up for the sins that we do. And it's no surprise because it's something that we've received from our ancestors, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were so good at hiding, at covering up for themselves, for the sins that they've committed. So it's so natural, it's no surprise why we are also good at covering up our sins with so many things. And we think that we can get away with God just because we are doing good works or good deeds. We might get away from people, but we can never get away from God. God sees us through and through. God sees us and God knows us inside and out. Sometimes ministry or our service could be our cover-up for our sins. I want to tell you, I want to submit this to you, that the Bible clearly teaches us that our good deeds or our righteousness are like filthy rags before the eyes of our very own God. If we try to cover up our sins with good deeds, they are just like filthy rags. According to the ESV, they're like polluted garments. We might just like be this apple right here, so good in the outside, but totally rotten on the inside. People might just praise us, man, you're so good, bro, you're so good. You're like Jesus in this world. There's no bad thing about you. But in reality, you are rotting inside. You're just so good at creating a facade for people to see. But our very own Lord and Christ sees us in the inside. God knows us through and through. Either way, to cower and to cover is both destructive to us. To cower and to cover are both destructive. It pulls us away from a genuine relationship with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We try to do these things, it pulls us away from a genuine relationship with Christ. And Peter wept bitterly. Peter just felt a remorse of what he did. Bakho gyud jag hinilak when he realized that he just denied and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, church, only when you realize the gravity of your sin and how much you have grieved God will you have a broken and contrite heart before God. If we don't realize how much we have grieved God for the thing that we do, we will never be in a place of brokenness for what we have done. We will never be in a place of genuine repentance if we don't realize how much we have done before God, how much hurt we have caused God, how grieved God was with the thing that we have done. In Psalm 51 verse 17, it says here, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The only way for us to get back to God is if we have a broken and contrite heart. If we realize, and that is only if we realize the magnitude and the gravity of our sin, the gravity of what we have done to grieve the heart of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Think about your past sins, your deepest, darkest sin. Do you still feel the guilt and shame? I sometimes do. When I think about the crazy things that I've did in my life, I sometimes do. But I hope and pray that we get to be reminded as a church, as a believer, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Christ, there is no condemnation. We have to continually remind ourselves with this truth, that in Christ, there is no condemnation. Because the devil will not stop until he convinces us that we are nothing. We have to continuously remind ourselves that in Christ, there is now no condemnation. God might see us through and through, but I also want to submit this to you, that you are in God, you are fully known, yet you are fully loved. Christ knows us. Every cell in our body, God knows. God knows us through and through. But even though God knows every mistakes, every failure, every sin that we have committed, God still loves us. God still loves us through and through. Going back to Peter, if we think about Peter, how broken Peter was. He was just so broken during this time. After denying the Lord Jesus Christ, he went back to his old former way of life. And this speaks of Peter backsliding from the faith. Just Peter just backslid from the faith. If you think or feel that God can no longer use you or forgive you because of what you have done, the sins, you think that your sin was so big that it's so unforgivable, think about Peter. Think about Peter, how he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, for all his life as a disciple, was walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, yet he was still able to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, for me, is a comfort that there's still hope for me, that no matter how sinful I am, there's still hope for me. If I look at Peter, I still have hope. There's still hope. It says in John chapter 21, verse 15, to 17, before Jesus Christ went to reveal himself for the third time to his disciples, Peter was out there fishing together with other disciples, and they were fishing overnight and they couldn't catch anything. They couldn't catch fish. And when Jesus Christ arrived, Jesus Christ asked, "Na may nakuha bay? Wala pa bay?" And Jesus said, "Cast your nets on the other side," and as if there's a big difference casting the net to the other side. The amazing thing was that they followed. They followed. They obeyed. They casted their nets on the other side and boom, they caught 153 fish, big fish. Such a great catch. And when they realized, when John said, "It is the Lord Jesus Christ," when Peter heard it, Peter just came to his senses and he jumped off the boat, never minding the catch, just rush to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I were Peter, I denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and now I have the face, I have the guts to rush through Him. Na dalagan ko padlong ni Jesus. What do I have to say to the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus, praise God, I denied you three times. If I was Peter, I wouldn't have a face to look Jesus Christ in the eye and say, "Lord, teacher, master." But the amazing thing was that Peter had that audacity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that boldness that even if he denied Christ, he still had that boldness to come to Christ. And I just realized that, man, we ought to have that kind of character as of Peter. That even when we commit a sin so great in our life, we will still naturally come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's what Christ wants us to do. Christ wants us to come to Him so that He can restore us. Now, let's take a look at what Jesus Christ did to Peter. When Peter arrived at the shore, he was surprised that Jesus Christ has already prepared breakfast for him. So it's like breakfast in bed. You don't have to cook for yourself. I've already cooked everything for you. All you have to do is sit down. Imagine Peter just jumped out of the boat, meaning to say he was wet. And there was a fire prepared for Peter right there. Jesus Christ prepared everything for Peter. To warm Peter. To have breakfast, right? A food for breakfast. What an amazing Lord that we have. Even in our sin, shame, and guilt, the Lord will still prepare everything for us. Whatever we need in our life, He will still prepare everything for us. And Peter sat there. Peter sat there. Now, one thing that I was so amazed is that when Peter arrived in front of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't begin to rebuke Peter of what he did. Jesus Christ didn't even say a single word of what Peter did. Now, Peter, you denied me. You hurt me. Jesus Christ never made mention of that. What Jesus Christ did was that he just reminded Peter of his love for Peter. If we read through the verses right there, in John verse 15, it says there, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Next verse, he said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. In the last verse, he said to him, the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, what's amazing here is that when Christ asked the first two questions, do you love me? The kind of love that he was referring to was the agape love. The ultimate kind of love, the sacrificial love, the unconditional love. And he was asking Peter of that one. And you know what? Peter's response was, I love you. The love that Peter professed was a phileo love. A lower kind of love. A brotherly love. Now we have to understand that agape love is a love that is not dictated by feelings. It's based on the will of the person to love. Now, phileo love is based on emotions, on feelings. And when we say based on feelings and emotions, it's fleeting. Pwede love ni mo siya karon, pwede dili. Now you see, now you don't. And it seems to me that Christ was reminding Peter of the agape love that he has for Peter. It was like Christ telling Peter, Peter, my love for you is unconditional. My love for you is sacrificial. My love for you is not dictated by any circumstance, any situation. My love for you is not dictated by the thing that you do for me. God's love is unconditional and sacrificial. And that is the same kind of love that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is giving us right now. And God wants us to be reminded of this agape love that He has for us. That no matter what you do, no matter what you did, no matter what you will do in the future, God will love you anyway. And through these questions, it gives us a picture that God is telling Peter, or even us today, that we can never reciprocate God's love for us. No amount of works will ever reciprocate God's love for us. We can never reciprocate the unconditional, the sacrificial love that Christ for us. Gamay lang gani na persecution, we are shaken. We falter. We think of denying Christ. But Christ, even with the sins that we do, each and every day, God still loves us. God's love is unconditional. God's love is sacrificial. Church, this afternoon, I want to remind us as well that no matter what you did, Jesus still loves you the same. The love that He has for you from the beginning is still the same love that He has for you today. No matter how many times you will deny Christ in your life, no matter how many times you would betray Christ, choosing to commit sin rather than choosing to please Him, no matter what happens, Christ's love will still remain. Christ's love will still be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, Peter was sitting there. Another amazing thing was that Christ didn't ask Peter to apologize. Na before giving the fish or the breakfast, wala ningon si Christ na, oh, before taking this breakfast, Peter, you have to apologize. You owe me an apology. Christ didn't do that. Christ just asked these three questions. And Peter was fully forgiven, fully restored. Fully forgiven, fully restored. That is the God that we worship. That is the God that we serve. Peter didn't have to do anything. He just had to sit there and enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for the third time. And then in fact, he was restored. He was forgiven. Christ wasn't just finished in restoring Peter. Christ is now giving Peter a new mission. If you think about Peter, Peter denied Christ, so this man couldn't be trusted. But Christ did something no one would ever do in that kind of situation. Christ began to entrust His people to Peter. The very person who denied Him, He is now entrusting the people whom He loves. That is one so amazing thing. It was like Christ saying, Peter, because I love you, I want to trust you. I'm trusting you with the life and the souls of these people because I trust you. Not because you're good, not because you're trustworthy, but because I love you. I'm going to trust you because I love you. And that's the same trust that God is giving us today. I want to remind you, church, that there are people whom God has entrusted in our lives for us to preach the gospel, for them to have an opportunity to receive Christ and experience Christ even in this lifetime. And God is saying to us right now, my son, my daughter, I am trusting you. I love you. That's why I trust you. Christ said in verse 32, He said, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. What an amazing thing that Christ did. He entrusted Peter with the lives of the people whom He loved so dearly. The church, He trusts you because He loves you. Not because of what you do for Him. Not because of anything good in you. But He just loves you. That's why He trusts you. And despite our own failures, weaknesses, and sins, Christ is eager to forgive and restore us our relationship with Him. This is our hope. Before I end, I want to give this challenge to each and everyone. In light of the love of Christ for us, I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. Is my love for Jesus expressed only in words or in deeds as well?
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.